Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Cholamandalam Investment and Finance Company Limited Q2 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Kotak Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nischint from Kotak Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the earnings conference call of Cholamandalam Investment and Finance Company Limited to discuss the 2Q FY25 performance of Chola and share industry and business updates. We have with us the management of the company, represented by Mr. Vellayan Subbiah, Chairman and Non-Executive Director, Mr. Ravindra Kundu, Managing Director, and Mr. Arul Selvan, President and Chief Financial Officer. I would now like to hand over the call to Vellayan for his opening comments, after which we'll take the Q&As.
Thank you, Nischint, and good morning, everybody. We'll go through financial results and performance for the quarter and the first half of the year. For disbursements, we're at 24,314 crores for the quarter, which is up by 13%, and 48,646 crores for the half, that's up by 17%. The total AUM stands at 177,426 crores, which is up by 33% year-on-year. The net income for the quarter is at 3,238 crores, which is up 37% year-on-year, and 6,271 crores for the half, which is up by 40% year-on-year. PAT is at 963 crores for the quarter, which is up 26% year-on-year, and 1,905 crores for the half, which is up 28% year-on-year. The board met and approved the unaudited results for the quarter and half year ended 30th September 2024. Vehicle finance disbursements were at 12,336 crores in the quarter, as against 11,731 crores, which is a growth of 5%, and disbursements in H1 FY25 were at 25,102 crores, as against 23,032 crores, which is a growth of 9%. LAP disbursed the loan against property business disbursed 4,295 crores in Q2, as against 3,192, which is a growth of 35%, and for the half, they were at 8,170 crores, as against 5,872, which is a growth of 39%. Home loans disbursed 1,823 crores in the quarter, as against 1,575, which is a growth of 16%, and for the half, disbursements were at 3,601 crores, as against 3,029 crores in the previous year, which is a growth of 19% year-on-year. The SME business disbursed 1,959 crores in the quarter, as against 1,945, which is a growth of 1%, and disbursements for the half were at 4,119 crores, which is a growth of 3%. The CSEL, consumer and small enterprise loans, disbursed 3,588 crores for the quarter, as against 2,853, which is a growth of 26%, and for the half, they were at 7,075 crores, which is a growth of 36%. Secured business and personal loans disbursed 312 crores in the quarter, as against 246 in the same quarter last year, which is a growth of 27%, and the disbursements for the half were at 580 crores, which is a growth of 36% over the first half last year. AUM stood at 177,426 crores, as compared to 133,775 crores, which is a growth of 33%. PBT growth in Q2 was at 27%, and for the half, it was at 29%. PBT ROA for Q2 was at 3%, and for the half year, it was at 3.1%. ROE for the quarter was at 18.24%, and for the half, was 18.55%. The company continues to hold a strong liquidity position with 13,864 crores as a cash balance as of at the end of September, including 2,563 crores invested in G-Secs and 2,106 crores invested in T-bills, and 624 crores invested in strips shown under investment. With a total liquidity position of 14,404 crores, including undrawn sanction line. The ALM is comfortable with no negative cumulative mismatches across all time buckets as per regulatory norm. Consolidated PBT for the quarter was at 1304 crores as against 1065 crores in Q2 FY24, which is a growth of 22%. And for the half, it was at 2579 crores as against 2021 crores, which is a growth of 28%. In terms of asset quality, stage 3 levels increased to 2.83% as of September 24 from 2.62% as of the end of June 24. GNPA as per RBI norms increased to 3.78% as of September 24 as against 3.62% as of June 24. NNPA as per RBI norms also increased to 2.48% as of September 24 as against 2.37% on June 24. NNPA is below the threshold of 6% prescribed by RBI as the threshold for PCA. The capital adequacy of the company as of September 30, 2024 was at 19.5% as against the regulatory requirement of 15%. Tier 1 capital was at 15%. Common equity at Tier 1 at 14.2%. as against the regulatory minimum of 9, and Tier 2 was at 4.46%. So with that, I'll stop with the commentary, and we'll be happy to turn it over to you for the Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants, please limit yourself to 2 questions per participant and come back in the queue for follow-up questions. We will wait for a moment till the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Dhaval from DSP. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions. First is on the asset quality for VF and CSEL. Could you talk a little bit around both these segments, where the stage 3 and, in CSEL, especially the NCL is also relatively higher in the first half compared to last year. How things are progressing in line or better than what you think. The second question relates to the growth, with the RBI sort of cautioning, companies on growth. How is the company looking at where we are and our growth trajectory? And if you could give some perspective around, regulatory interactions around this aspect, that would be useful. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, so Dhaval, thanks. So I'll answer the growth bit and then kind of Ravi will talk a bit about asset quality. As you can see, we've moderated disbursements a fair bit, right? And kind of, so you've seen disbursement growth is up by only 13% for the quarter. So you can see that growth moderation that basically we've been talking. We obviously kind of, this is a matter that we discussed at the board as well. And so you can basically see that disbursement growth is moderated to 13%. Why you see a slightly higher number for AUM is because of kind of, the base, right, from last year. But that will moderate kind of, as we go into the rest of the year as well. So, but, I don't know where we dropped off, but basically...
So, Vilan, you were just highlighting that you had discussed at the board and the disbursement growth is around 13% and that's when we lost.
Yeah. So basically, that was just to give you an indication that we have moderated. right? Kind of we have moderated. And as kind of some of the base effect wears off, I think we'll kind of drop to numbers that are slightly lower than the numbers that are, that you're seeing in terms of AUM growth right now, right? Ravi,
yeah.
You want to join in?
Asset quality in vehicle finance, you've seen that due to the heat wave in the first quarter and the second quarter was actually the, you know, extended rains and all, slightly it has gone up by 30 basis point in stage 2 and then 30 basis point in stage 3. I think this quarter it will be at same level and then next quarter it will come down as usual. The fourth quarter is always better for the, you know, vehicle finance as well as the company. As far as the CSEL is concerned, they are also in the range bound, is you know, hovering between 4.25 to 5%. And we have also started Samsung partnership mobile funding. So there are three businesses. One is traditional, the second is the partnership for the digital lending and digital lending in-house, and then the Samsung. So CSEL is continuously expanding the their product line. So you will see that this will be hovering between 4.25 to 5%.
Got it. And just sorry, one follow up on the growth bit. So the book is sort of shifting towards a longer duration product, so which is why there is a gap between AUM and disbursement. So what we should monitor is disbursement growth, or at the board level, focus is on disbursement growth or AUM growth, because just trying to link the medium term guidance of 25% plus AUM growth. That's the reason I'm asking.
So basically, what you saw was a 33% number, right? That number will come a bit off, right? So that's why I'm saying that the guidance of 25% is kind of is useful guidance to use on the AUM side.
Got it. Yeah. Very clear. Thanks. All the best.
Thanks, Bravo.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raghav Garg from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on the asset quality again. Your slippages this quarter were around 930 crores. How much of these would have come from the vehicle finance and the CSEL product specifically, keeping these two numbers separately? And how much would these numbers be up on a YOY basis?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's given in page 29 of the investor presentation, individual sub-product wise details are given on the stage 3 numbers. So there's a slippage of around 600 crores, less than 600 crores, of which around 300 odd crores has come from vehicle finance, and the rest has marginally increased.
Sir, I think your write-offs have also been elevated, right? So I am assuming here that some of the flows that you would have seen in either last quarter or even in this quarter would have been written off. In that backdrop, the absolute amount on gross slippages, which seems to be about 900 crores, would a breakup of that would be useful.
So it is at the same level as last quarter.
Write-offs are the same level. Write-offs, there's no difference in the comparable quarters.
Understood. Fair enough. Second thing is that in the last call, you had mentioned about 1.2-1.3% credit cost for vehicle finance this year, right? We're already averaging about 1.8-1.9 in the first half. I think that in first quarter call, you had mentioned it would come down. Just wanted to understand what has changed between then and now, that the credit cost has not come down, it's still elevated, and what gives you the confidence that it will come down, in the second half?
No, for company level, we said that 1.2 to 1.3. So 1.2 to 1.3, and if you take a little conservative approach, it will be at 1.4 for the company level. Vehicle finance is actually at 1.8.
Both at company level and even at vehicle finance level, if you see compared to Q1, it is coming down, and this is the same similar trend you saw, you will see even in last year. that what used to be like a larger number ends in the year with a smaller number because the second half will always be better, especially most of in vehicle finance, because they are more skewed towards collection during the festival period than post-harvest.
No, sir, I completely understand Q4 is generally very good in terms of recoveries and collections, but it's just that whatever guidance you had, the ask on second half just goes way too high. So wanted to get some confidence on that. But yeah, you partly...
It will be at 1.3% NCL is what we are seeing now.
Understood. And sir, in vehicle finance, can you know, apart from the numbers that are already there in the presentation, whatever is there in the quarterly numbers, what is actually happening on the ground in vehicle finance in terms of truck utilization, in terms of the freight rates, if you can give some granular sense, are operators getting enough load to carry, all that sort of stuff, just to help us gauge how the trends could be going forward?
Yeah, so Ravi here, see, trucks, we are actually having a lower mix in terms of our commercial vehicle business, but small commercial vehicle business, we do more. So we saw that, the rural economy is slightly not doing that better, and demand side also, you have seen that small commercial vehicle has come down. So delinquency is related to the last mile transportation is there. So among all products in vehicle finance, if you segregate CVC and passenger vehicle, tractor, two wheeler, three wheeler, I see that small commercial vehicle, especially sub 1 ton last mile transportation, got impacted both from the demand side as well as the delinquency side, and therefore the overall delinquency is at a higher side. But it is also related to seasonality. Quarter one and quarter two have been always higher, and this time it was election in the first year and the first quarter, and then heat wave. Second quarter, we have extended rain as well as the post election transition also not completed fully on ground, and therefore there is some utilization related problem is there. And the election, then the festival also moved to October, both the festival. So pre-festival activity also has not been good in the quarter two. So all put together, last mile transportation, capacity utilization during the quarter two for the commercial vehicle has been down. So among all products, we have seen that CV delinquency were higher, which is likely to go down in the quarter three, and then quarter four, it will improve further.
Thank you. Do I have room for another question?
What?
Sure.
Okay, sir, just on the employee side, right, so there's been a pretty substantial jump quarter on quarter. We've almost added about 7,000 employees this time. Which all products have we added, and, in which functions have we added these employees? That's my last question. Thanks.
So all the divisions is actually, if you see that the LAP is working on micro LAP, SME business is working on equipment finance, medical equipment finance, industrial equipment finance, and micro term loan. We HL is expanding into non-south market. Vehicle finance is also adding the small branches as well as, manpower for collection. PSL is also expanding. So manpower increase is there across the businesses.
Mr. Raj, does that answer your question?
Yeah. I think good. My questions have been answered. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure the management is able to address questions from all the participants, please limit yourself to one question per participant. The next question is from the line of Avinash Singh from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. So, questions, related to this employee addition, that has also led to sort of expansion in the OPEX ratios. Now, so if you can help, that how has been this breakup of employee addition towards, the sales and collections, and also if, this were to sort of, this has led to kind of a jump in OPEX. Now, how do you see the ROA trajectory improving? Because, I mean, in terms of credit cost, yes, I mean, we are expecting some bit of improvement in the second half, but for the full year, it is somewhere towards the upper range of guidance. Now, OPEX going towards slightly higher end. And also, I mean, your borrowing, just because a function of your growth, will be higher. So how do you see that ROA playing out?
So the operating expenses are actually flat. If you see the quarter one and quarter two, it is at 3% level. And it is going to be in that same level for this financial year. Because we are adding manpower for expansion of the product line as well as the geography. The productivity is down because the market was down. So with quarter three onwards, the individual productivity by sales executive doing more number of loans will go up from October month. We have seen that in this month, the disbursements are higher than last month. So the productivity increase is going to be seen, but the OPEX will be remain as it is.
Yeah, and if you can just help that, okay, how much of this kind of 7,000 employee addition you have done towards collection, right?
So more or less balanced, actually. We are adding manpower equally in sales and collection. Not only sales and collection, we are also adding for supporting businesses.
It is in vehicle finance, is a little bit more on collection, but in the LAP and the businesses, it is more on the sales. So I think this breakups will be more getting into more data, which is not available in public domain. We'll leave it at a very broad level like this. But this is the whole way.
General bias is that, yeah. Like Arul said.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Sibrawal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, everyone, and thank you for taking my question. Sir, I had two questions. First thing is, I mean, if you could comment a little bit on our view on the auto cycle. Sir, if you look at the last four quarters, vehicle finance disbursements have been in a tight range. 12,500 crores to 13,000 crores. And given that we are already talking about some slowdown that is being seen in PVs, how should we look at the auto cycle going ahead? This is something I want the Ravi sir to comment on. And the other thing is, maybe a related question here is, I mean, while you said October disbursements are looking better than September, if you could also comment a little bit on the festive season demand, because from what we are able to gather, I mean, festive season is not very good this time around. And so the second question that I had is, Ravi sir said that in the last quarter, we saw that CV delinquencies were higher, small CVs, last mile transportation has got impacted, both on the demand side as well as the delinquency side. So just wanted to understand, I mean, if you can throw some nuance around new and used CVs. Is there a significant difference in behavior that you are seeing between new and used CVs? Those are the two questions I have. Thank you.
Yeah. So maybe the demand is, determined by the wholesale number of the manufacturer. I'm not sure how much wholesale number will come in the quarter three. As of now, in the quarter two, CV numbers are down by 11% and PV is down by 2%. But retail is going to go up because whatever supply they have made it to the dealership is going to sell, and to that extent, the disbursement will go up. As you mentioned that we have been doing 12,000 crore of disbursement in a quarter. So obviously from there, from Q3 onwards, it will go up. And that's how we have also budgeted in internally. What Mr. Vellayan was talking about, that even after doing the disbursement, say 10 to 12% or 14% within the vehicle finance, the asset growth, which is at say 22%, will come down to 18 to 20%. And at the overall level, it's a similar story. We are at 17% growth in terms of H1, and if a little bit disbursement goes up also, the asset growth will come down to 25 to 28%. Now, coming to delinquency, which you want segregation between used and new. In the case of small commercial vehicle, we are not doing any. Yeah, maybe here. So what I was saying is that within the CV used, we don't do small commercial vehicle used. We do lights and heavies. So as far as the small commercial vehicle, which is related to last mile transportation, it is pertaining to new small commercial vehicles, especially sub one time. But if you club all CV new versus all CV used, the delinquency levels are in the same level. So increase in the delinquency are the same, irrespective of new and new.
Got it. Got it, sir. And sir, one more question that I wanted to squeeze in here. In addition to, I mean, this festive season demand, how is the festive period panning out? Sir, I think, I mean, somewhere you said that manpower increase is there across businesses and will continue in the foreseeable future. I just wanted to understand for how long do you expect this to continue and at what point we will start focusing on improvements in productivity?
Yeah. So CV has not picked up in this festival. For the month of October, we are seeing other than CV, all the other products are doing well in terms of relatively. And this will get continued. Maybe post-harvesting when the crop will come to the market and people, farmer will start getting money and then construction activity will pick up. Then CV will start picking up. Till such time, I don't think CV is going to be pick up the way we wanted. As far as the productivity is concerned, in vehicle finance, we mentioned that we have recruited more collection than sales. So obviously, we are focusing on the productivity on the inside with the existing manpower and increasing the collection intensity to manage the collection. Other product line, they are adding manpower. Obviously, they are working on the productivity. Now you take the example of home loan. Home loan is like, you know, they are 50% focus in south and non-south is like 50%. Obviously, they have a lot of room to basically expand in, you know, rest of the market. So obviously, they will continue to hire manpower, continue to open branches. And similarly, LAP, CCL, SBPL, those are, you know, operating from one third or say maybe half of the vehicle finance branches. So obviously, if they open up more branches, they have to recruit more manpower for sales and collection. Initially, every business will open up, recruit more manpower in sales, and then they recruit collection.
Got it. This is useful. Now. Thank you so much, and wish you and your team the very best. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
A reminder to all participants, please limit yourself to one question per participant. The next question is from the line of Ishan Srimali from Tara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my question. I just wanted a little clarification on the credit cost. Was it 1.3 on the NCL or what was it? Is it 1.4 or 1.3?
1.3, 1.4.
1.4 for the quarter, 1.4 for the quarter and 1.5 for the half, right? For losses.
NCL.
Yeah, NCL. I was talking about the NCL. It was 1.3. Yeah. Oh, it's 1.4 for this quarter and for the next of the year it was?
1.4 for this quarter it has come. And okay. What we said that it will be 1.3 for the full year.
Okay, 1.3 for the full year. Okay, thank you, sir. Yeah. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Piran Engineer from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question and congrats on a good quarter. My question is really on the home loan business. Firstly, can you just talk a bit about competition there? And secondly, when repo rates are cut, what happens to our yields? What percentage of our book is home loan book is linked to the repo rate?
So,
on
this side. So, as far as home loan is concerned, right now we are expanding geos. And our major focus is self-construction business. So as of now, we are maintaining the yields. I will not allow the yields to drop because we are going towards the new geographies where the delinquencies will turn off over a period of time. So as far as the yields are concerned, we are trying to maintain that. Of course, going forward, if the rate of interest goes down, there will be a stiff competition. And as we all are aware, this is the affordable segment, there are many new entrants. But over a period of time, it will be those guys who can maintain the delinquency levels at the expected and who can have the team for assessment credit.
Oh,
hello?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
Now, sir.
Okay, fine.
So, no, but my question is really like, are our internal benchmarks indirectly pegged to the repo rate or not?
Yeah.
If the repo rate is cut 50 bps, will our yield on the back book also decline by 50 bps? How should we think about that? That was my question.
Yeah, going forward, definitely the pass on will be to the customers, but it will be, there are three aspects to that. Of course, the cost of fund is one of the variant. There is also the cost of operations and the profitability part. So we'll see over a period of time how it pans down in terms of the rate reversals to the customers.
Understood. And just one clarification on what Kundu sir mentioned, the lower capacity utilization, is that only for LCV or across LCV, MHCV both?
Yeah, across the all product line, we see that during the first quarter and second quarter, that is because of the election or heat wave, extended rain, and also transition has not been completed. The capacity utilization of the commercial vehicle is down, as well as last mile transportation also got impacted because of the poor demand in economy, as well as, you know, the, you know, consumption in the rural market is down.
Understood. Okay, that's it from my end. Thank you and wish you all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Shah from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking the question. So first is on the borrowing side. So when we look at it, still the skew is more towards the bank borrowing compared to that of the debt market. But the rate cuts would be following relatively later compared to the benefit which we are seeing on the debt market side. Would we be tweaking the proportion looking at the opportunities which are available, or we obviously expect the overall mix to continue? And within bank borrowings, how much is linked to MCLR and how much is linked to EBLR within that, in terms of just to gauge the repricing benefit?
Yeah, see, we will continue with the skew more towards bank borrowings, primarily because of two reasons. You are right, like more than 50-60% of borrowings are connected to EBLR, and we are already seeing some amount of benefit coming into that. And the other point is, because of the bank borrowings, in bank borrowings, we take advantage of the PSL assets to get the rates lower than the market rate. So it continues to be better to be skewed towards bank borrowing.
Okay. And within bank borrowing, you said 50% is linked to EBLR.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
More than 50% is EBLR, around 10% is fixed and the rest are MCLR.
10% fixed rate and balance MCLR. Okay, got it. And when we look at it in terms of the commentary, normally Q3 sequential uptick in the disbursements, particularly on the vehicle, is quite good. So does it suggest that maybe at least in terms of the momentum this quarter, Q3 could be relatively low, maybe at least in terms of the increase from where Q2 was, would it be relatively lower compared to what we have been seeing in past 2-3 years? Because you are highlighting maybe things are still not on track and it might take some time.
So Q2 to Q3 disbursement is going to go up. That is for sure. There is no problem.
No, the only thing is in terms of like the quantum which generally happens, that's quite huge. But the commentary still suggests that it's going to take some time. So would it be fair to...
Are you talking about disbursements or are you talking about collections?
Yeah, disbursements.
Disbursements are the same range only. I don't think last quarter was a very huge jump from Q2 to Q3.
Disbursements we don't see kind of. I think the question, Ravi's commentary was more on the collections and the portfolio normalized.
Yeah, and collections also Q3, you said like at least in terms of the GS to GS3, it would be at a similar level to Q2. And the improvement would be from Q4 onwards.
That's right.
Okay, got it. Yeah, thank you. Thanks, yeah.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Shubhranshu Mishra from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Three questions. The first one is around the fee income. Chunky piece is now coming from our insurance premiums. How do we model for the insurance premiums going forward in the fee income? The second question is around the assignment that we used to do in vehicle finance. It's come off drastically versus, say, 6-7 quarters ago. How do we look at that in terms of assignment going forward in vehicle finance business? And third, if you can split the collections team or collection employees into various businesses. Thanks.
Insurance, we were earlier getting through the subsidiaries and which we're taking through dividends. It is now coming. We are already at a fairly decent pace on the insurance. I don't see too much of an upswing from here. It will go in line with the disbursement trends. On the assignment, actually, we're not doing assignments. We're doing more of only securitization so far. So
I think his question was, we were doing a lot of assignments.
Long time back, yeah.
That was a long time ago.
Very long time back. It's more than 5 years back. Actually, most of the assigned VF book has already run down. We have a few 1,200 crores or so on the LAP and HL book, which we have done long time back, which is still as some residual
manpower
stream.
Manpower, obviously, we've not indicated guidance.
We have not given separately guidance on collections,
but a majority of
et cetera, but
it's more or less in line with kind of the size of each of the businesses.
But how many people do we deploy in collections?
Oh, the question is overall in collections.
That differs again, product to product. In vehicle finance is the largest, almost like 20,000 people will be in.
So I think quarter of our total workforce in collections.
Yeah.
Say that number again.
So it'll be between 25%-30% of our total workforce is collections.
What portion would be in vehicle finance and LAP?
That's what we just told you. No, we won't give that. We're not giving specific guidance. You can just assume that it's in ratio of the size of the business.
Got it. Sure. Thank you. Happy Diwali.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Viral Shah from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity to ask, let me ask the question. So I wanted to check on the new businesses. So last three quarters now, we are seeing broadly flattish kind of disbursements. So what is the outlook over there, or is it more of a conscious call? And also, if you can share the percentage of the CSEL book now being sourced through fintech partnerships?
CSEL book is like
what percentage of
1% is the partnership.
Out of the overall CSEL book is 14,000 crores. Out of that, the fintech partnership is only 2,000 crores. The ratio has actually come down.
So it's about 12% through fintech partnerships of the book. And to your question, kind of, I think what we've always indicated is that, there's a totally unsecured book will cap out at a percentage of our overall portfolio. So the CSEL business is about 8%, 8-9% of the overall portfolio right now. So we don't see it kind of growing into double digits, right? So I think we'll cap out at 10% max. So to your question on whether that's conscious, obviously it's moderated, yes, by the size of the overall business. The quick answer is yes.
Okay. And when you say you'll cap it at, say, at max 10%, is it like, say, more a 6 months, 12 months kind of thing, or more from, say, a medium-term perspective, say, 3 years out also it will be like that?
Yeah. Medium-term also. 3 years out also it will be capped.
Got it. And secondly, wanted to check if there would be, say, any impact of the RBI's directive on doing away with the foreclosure charges on the floating rate MSME book, which would be a LAP book in our case. Do you foresee any impact, not just from, say, the fees perspective, or I would say more from a competitive perspective as well, as the exit barrier kind of goes ahead?
Yeah, see, the directive is more for foreclosures out of own funds and for personal purposes taken. What we do is all business loans, and where it is a from own funds, we don't charge, but where it is a balance transfer, etc., we will charge.
Okay, so you are saying only the BT, the non-BT portion will be impacted on the LAP book?
No, there are two types of foreclosure. No, if someone is actually paying from his own pocket, then it is basically, we are not even charging now also, and someone is basically taking loan from the market, then it is being charged.
Okay, and that does not change with this kind of directive, to your understanding.
But more no, difference is coming, I think.
It will come, so we have to assess it, and we have to, at a portfolio level, we will see. And there could be some impact if that full circular is implemented.
Okay, got it. Thank you. And do I have a chance for one more question?
Go ahead.
Thank you. With respect to the NIMs, if you can let us know how it will trend in the second half, and more importantly also in this quarter, was there any effect of averaging or timing impact, because we saw a 10 basis points increase in cost of funds? Did it have anything to do with the ECBs that we raised?
So we did some tab to 3,000 crores. There's a marginal impact, but it is more a case of some of the old loans, old borrowings which were at lower rates also running off. The same reverse story of what we talk about in vehicle finance, but we are able to manage it there, and we hope to keep it.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranuj from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. There are two questions. One is on your fee income. It is sustaining at a pretty decent level of 400 crores plus. Your insurance income has not increased that much quarter on quarter. So what actually led to the strength over here? And second is your OPEX should sustain at that 3.1% level, even if you see that disbursement, incremental disbursement growth coming off from this year and next year?
Income.
Yeah, so I think the OPEX, the OPEX will be at the 3% level. We don't see kind of that OPEX going up even if disbursement growth. Because like we said, I mean, OPEX is basically measured off of the AUM base, and we see the AUM base, like we've guided, right? Kind of will be lower than the 33, but the OPEX we don't see an issue.
We will
Fee income
will remain at similar levels. It has improved a bit, but it will remain at similar levels.
As a percentage of?
Percentage of average assets. Because it is amortized on the book under Ind AS.
Just to clarify, OPEX, you said 3 to 3.1 should sustain going forward also, right?
Right.
Okay. Understood. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hardik Shah from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible, sir?
Yeah,
I had two questions. One is specifically on yields. What would be your incremental yields versus outstanding? And if you've taken any interest rate hikes across portfolios?
In which, are you talking about overall aggregate?
Overall.
In this scenario, we will not be taking interest rate hikes on the floating rate book, which has already been hiked, which is the LAP, HL and SME. In the rest of the books where it's a fixed rate, we have progressively been increasing marginally. Two components to it. One is the increase as well as the mix. Most people is giving an impact on the yield. So you'll see that more in vehicle finance and CSEL businesses. And CSEL you won't see much because it's already a high rate book, so you may not see that much impact. But in vehicle finance, you'll see progressive increase over the next two quarters.
So what would be the broad delta on incremental yields versus...
We can't discuss those delta because it is a combination of two factors, as I say. One is the increase we are doing as well as a mix of the portfolio. So mix of the portfolio will be determined by market demands, etc. So we cannot really, give you a number, and it's going to nitty-gritty into that.
Okay, got it. And so second question is broadly on the customer overlap with MFI. If you could share some color, especially for our two-wheeler and affordable housing business, if you're seeing any impact on those portfolios from the stress that we're seeing in MFI.
No, there is no overlap actually.
Zero.
Across all businesses.
Oh, we can't say zero.
It's minimal.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitesh Jain from Investec. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Two questions. Firstly, are there any growth and asset quality divergence between new CV and used CV? And secondly, in the SME book, there is almost 30 basis point sequential increase in GNPA, GS3, and the book is also growing at a healthy pace. So that looks a bit high increase on the GS3. So any comment or color on that?
As we mentioned always, we are more focused on the CV used. And in the case of CV new, whenever heavy commercial vehicle is growing faster, our growth looks lower than the market. But now CV new is also growing lower pace. So our growth rates are in the CV and CV used are both the same.
And so on the asset quality trends, the GS3 increase that we have seen, is it uniform across used and new or there are divergences?
Yeah, it is same only. I mentioned that in the previous panel question also.
Okay. Sure.
As far as SME book is concerned, quarter on quarter, the book has almost stabilized on the same number. And as far as GNPA is concerned, basically, the book is maturing and we are seeing that some cases will come, but with the legal course and all, things will come down with surface. It's all covered under surface thing. So it is now maturing and we'll take actions to bring it down. And H1 was anyways a little bit tougher. Market was like that. But in H2, we are confident that it will come down to the at the same pass.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ajit Kumar from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Just one question. In your credit cost guidance for FY25, are you factoring in further reduction in ECL provision in stage 1, 2, 3 assets in second half? This quarter as well, we have seen reduction in ECL provision. That is why I wanted to check on trajectory of ECL provision going forward. Yeah.
So the reduction would be driven by the reduction in stage 2 and stage 3 assets. It's not a reduction if you are indicating that it is not a reduction by changing the methodology. That's what I mean.
Okay. Sure. That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhaskar Basu from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. I just had one question on the credit cost side. So you seem to be indicating that GS3, the asset quality would broadly be stable sequentially, while the ask on the credit cost for the second half to meet your full year guidance is still fairly high. So do you expect credit cost to go down next quarter onwards like we have seen in the past, or it's going to be largely back-ended?
Next quarter will be flat, then the fourth quarter will be lower, and that's how we will achieve. As of now, we are at 1.5% if you see that. And as we have said that key, it will come down to say 1.3.
Right. So the entire improvement is likely to be in the fourth quarter is what you're indicating.
Yeah. That happens actually normally. Last year, quarter three also was good. But since it is October month, last day is Diwali. So October month will be slightly, not that great. And then November and August, December, we need to cover it up. And also, the entire harvesting also got extended.
Okay. And when you're talking about reduction in GS3, it's going to be across the board or specifically on the vehicle finance side where you see a correction from where you are?
So some of the portfolio like LAP and HL are already at the rock bottom level. Even in vehicle finance, if you see that, they are much lower than the pre-COVID level. And that is also one reason that it is going up. When you have reduced it so bottom, it has to go up a little bit in linear month. We are expecting that, vehicle finance, CSEL, SME, they will be reducing their stage 3.
Okay, thanks. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankush Agrawal from Surge Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my question. Firstly, sir, our capital adequacy has increased sequentially. So can you explain why did that happen?
CAR has gone up.
Perpetual debt. We did 1,000 crores
of perpetual debt, which goes into Tier 1, okay. And sub debt of 2,000, which went into Tier 2. Both have helped improve the car.
Got. The second question was about growth. I mean, in quarter first con call, we made this comment that, you know, the Q1 growth and disbursement were much higher than what we had expected because of elections, and that in Q2 onwards, we expected to increase further, but obviously we have not seen that happen. So what changed between these two periods that the overall growth outlook is now much lower than what was there in Q1?
Q1 growth was 21%. Now it is at 17%. We said that in Q2 because of the rain impact, and then from Q3 onward it will pick up.
Broadly, the guidance we've always given, like Arul said, has been 25% AUM growth, right? There was also the question based on kind of, you know, RBI input and all of that. So broadly, what we're saying is that we've shown 33 in the first half, and we will likely kind of drop, you know, to a lower number, but still we maintain that 25% guidance, right? So we're not changing anything on that guidance. We just said, yeah, 25% fully on that.
That was it. Thanks.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, please limit yourself to one question per participant. The next question is from the line of Renish from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Just one question on the credit cost front once again. So if you can just throw some light, maybe qualitatively, that, you know, since we expect sizable recovery in Q4 from all our product line, which product you expect will drive this improvement, you know, including since our exposure to some of the unsecured product is relatively higher, maybe CL, unsecured business loan, etc. So which segment you expect to drive this recovery in Q4, and do you foresee any risk to that recovery as of now?
So first of all, you have to accept that it is actually from quarter one, which has come down from 1.5 to 1.4. Okay. And this 1.4, we are saying that it will go down to 1.3 at a company level. Now, if you see that our LAP, which was actually doing the reversal till last year, they were reversing 15 basis points. This year, they have given 15 basis points of NCL. So that is a 30 basis point, you know, swing. So now they do not have that much reversal capacity. They will be, you know, normally they will do 15 basis points in steady state. They can go up to even 30 basis points, but they're doing better than their, you know, expectation. Vehicle finance actually from 1.9 it has come down to 1.8, and it is going to go down further. So the major difference is only 10 basis points, 1.4 to 1.3. So 1.4 to 1.3, everybody will have to contribute, but those who are already lower, like HL and LAP, they are already lower. They cannot contribute anymore.
Yeah. So HL and LAP have had a strong performance. That will continue. And obviously, kind of some of the other segments will now start contributing a bit more.
Okay. And you don't foresee any risk of unsecured business loan or maybe unsecured portfolio, you know, sort of resulting in higher credit costs in second half, given the current environment is?
Yeah, sir. So, I think the question is kind of, are we concerned on further, this thing on unsecured? There's no concern. There's not a concern. Sorry.
Okay. Yes. Okay, that's it for my side. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Kaitav Shah from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. So just one question was on the improvement in the ROTA. With the growth perhaps slightly slowing down, does that change the ROA trajectory for you? ROTA trajectory in a medium-term perspective? I mean, does it postpone the ROA improvement, or it's still on track, you think, over a medium term?
No, I think that is still on track. We don't see any challenges.
We're still working on the 3.5 roadmap.
Yeah, so we've always,
take 10 basis points.
Yeah, we've always guided that, right? Kind of we've talked about the range and kind of the performance of that range. And, you know, now, I mean, so I don't think there's any change in medium term guidance.
Okay, sure. Thank you so much. That was my question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raghav Garg from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
So thanks. My questions have been answered.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Sonal from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. There was a previous question on PBT ROA. So in 1H, we are closer to about 3.1%. So how do we reach to 3.5% by the end of the year? Because what I understand, there would be 10 basis improvement from credit.
This year, I don't think we're saying. So I think the specific guidance that we've given is that 3.5 is the average over the full cycle, right? And we've said that when we are, you know, at weaker points in the cycle, we will drop closer to 3. So the range we've given is 3 to 4. And we said we'll average 3.5 over the cycle. So in years like this, we will definitely be lower than 3.5. So we'll be closer to the 3 end of it. So what we're saying is it'll move up from 3, but it'll definitely not move up to 3.5. So we're not saying we'll hit 3.5 this year, to be clear.
We are at 3.1 level at H1. So it will improve to maybe 3.2 next for the full year.
Could be 3.3 also.
Yeah.
Between 3.2 and 3.3
for the year.
Sure. And there was another question on CACL. So our provision coverage ratio is at 50.5%. Now, given that the book is unsecured, any thoughts of increasing this provision coverage ratio?
No. So is your question, will we change the CCL provision coverage ratio? Is that your question?
No, we are not going to change that.
No, CCL, right now we are adopting a more, aggressive policy, considering that we don't have the history to do an ECL model on it. Hopefully by end of next year, we will be having enough data to do the ECL model, but our indications show that the ECL model will throw a lower number than what we are already providing.
So, broadly we feel comfortable with the current provision coverage.
Okay, so, you know, I mean, pre-COVID levels, when our book was secured book, we were maintaining about 1.75% of PCR. With unsecured book, you know, being closer to about 8%, are we comfortable with 1.83% PCR on the total book?
You have to look at it from an overall perspective. CECL is only 8% of the overall book. So, considering that, that's not going to swing that much. You are talking the 1.25% is the overall company.
1.83 for entire.
1.83 as a percentage of total.
Earlier it was 1.10.
Yeah. Okay, so we don't see anything change here over next 4-5 quarters.
Yeah.
No. Okay. Sure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhaval from DSP. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow-up. Just one question relating to the business model. So, you know, like we added these new businesses to reduce cyclicality, and that's what is playing out with VF being lower, relatively lower growth, but the overall business is sustaining. Any part of the business model that you think as you've added these three or four segments, anything that can become much more bigger in the next, let's say, 5-6 years from where we are today? Any of the businesses, just any thoughts around that? Thanks.
So one is that at a company level we have diversified, and within the businesses also every business is trying to diversify. For example, LAP is actually getting into the micro LAP in order to maintain their yield and ROA can be stable. Similarly, HL is like expanding, and they are also having new product other than the self construction. CCL has already got 4 product in their line. SME also started moving to the equipment finance, medical equipment finance, industrial equipment finance, then generator funding, and also they are also getting into the micro term loan. So I think we are doing both at a company level as well as the division level.
Yes, sir. Good question. I mean, the thesis still kind of remains intact, right? And so, like Ravi said, HL and LAP are showing good indications of kind of this thing. So I think HL is obviously a much larger base. And, but both of those businesses are showing kind of good indications of taking a larger percentage of the overall pool.
And so, well, in medium term, should one be thinking that this 50% VF today and maybe eventually 40 to 50, directionally it can be far more diversified, maybe many years down the line, but it can be far more diversified business than what it is today. So that should be a broad hypothesis, or do you think at some point VF will still flatten at a particular elevated percent?
HL will come down.
Right. You're seeing that. I mean, like it's at 56, it'll come down by 50%. I mean, if you take the long term, right, I mean, definitely some of the other businesses also have good growth. Like, so that's, your point is valid.
Got it. Thanks, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nischint from Kotak Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. This is just a clarification. When you mentioned, credit cost of 1.3 versus 1.4 in the second quarter, is 1.3 for the second half or is 1.3 for the entire year?
For the full year.
For the full year. So probably second half should be like whatever, 1.1, 1.2 or there. Or maybe fourth quarter should be like whatever, 1.1 or so.
Yeah, that's what
got it. Thank you very much. This was the last question for the call. So thank you everyone for joining this call. Happy Diwali to all of you. And thank you very much to the management for giving us an opportunity to host the call.
Thanks, Thank you.
On behalf of Kotak Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.